All right, so I have started the recorder. Tonight we are beginning 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which is in my Kindle on page 309. How about you guys in the paper? 309. All right. Here we go. This is a letter to you from your own Holy Spirit. Listen to him as you read and know your own guidance. Through what is shared through you, you shall learn who you are. Now, of course, as you can imagine, as the scribe, that felt very, very personal. I was being told, because I still had this belief then in the other, right? I was channeling. And so these words, your own Holy Spirit, are really pointing to the fact that I'm not channeling. This is, you know, my own, we could also call it our own, inner wisdom coming to the surface in an experiential way. And then, of course, it's also telling me, it says, listen to him as you read, which is interesting. It means it's also talking to you, because I wasn't reading. I was writing, right? Listen to him as you read and know your own guidance. So it's really pointing here that as each person reads this, if they're really listening within as they read, they're going to realize guidance for themselves, each and every person. And then through what is shared through you, back to the scribe again, you shall learn who you are. So, moving on to verses 3 to 11. Everything that comes to you for your healing. There is nothing that you experience that cannot have that purpose. Here's the if that is the purpose you give it. But hear me well. I have said that is the purpose it will have if that is the purpose you give it. This is because of who you are. If you do not give the purpose of healing to your life, it shall not have that purpose. And no experience can bring to you that which you do not desire. So, you know, this is actually pretty simple. This means that, you know, if Lynn for some reason gets mad at me and starts yelling at me right now, I can use that experience to feel very, very separate from Lynn, to hate Lynn, to have a grievance against Lynn, right? Or I can use that experience to watch my own mind, see what's coming up, see what I need to let go of being defensive, blah, 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 right? Same experience, Lynn yelling at me, right? So again, in that way, this is what the Course means when it talks about every experience is neutral. The only meaning it has is the meaning I give it. And so I can decide that I want everything to have the purpose of healing or the purpose of awakening. And then everything has that purpose because I decided it. And there's no exception as long as I stay consistent with my decision. There's nothing that won't have that meaning.
And when you remember that everything is love,
Yeah. Then
even if I was yelling at you, I could be saying all kinds of things, and really what I'm saying is I really love you.
Well, not everybody's going to see it that way, though. That's where the mind-watching comes in. How am I interpreting being yelled at, right? What is going on in me? Yeah. All right, so verse 8, or sentence 8. Yet the opposite is also true. If healing is the purpose that you give to all things in your life, then all things shall have that purpose, and no thing can occur that does not have that purpose. For you choose your own blessings, and the one who chooses healing is the one who knows he is blessed. Why can I write these things of you in confidence? And that's interesting. Spirit's saying, I write. The pen was in my hand, but, you know, it shows that I wasn't doing it right. Why can I write these things of you in confidence and certainty without exception of any kind? It is because I know who you are. I know your purpose is your purpose because I know your freedom. I know nothing can take the purpose that you choose from you. Nothing can deny you the experience you choose to have. That kind of reminds me of yesterday's Awakening Together quote for the day. Yesterday we had a, how do you say his name, Thich Nhat Hanh? Yesterday we had a Thich Nhat Hanh quote that said something about no one can take away your freedom. I don't remember the entire quote, but I remember the end of it was, you know, you always can focus on your step and focus on your breath in and your breath out. Basically, he was teaching it's an attitude of freedom, right? You can have an attitude of feeling victimized or taken advantage of, or you can have an attitude of freedom. And if you have an attitude of freedom, no matter what anybody does to you, you're free. And in fact, the example I used, Priscilla, was Rabia. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was a slave prostitute, right? Yeah. And she was a slave prostitute, but she was also a mystic. And Priscilla has shared some of her poetry with me. It's erotic and holy simultaneously. And the favorite one that you shared with me a long time ago was the one where she talks about how God would come and kiss her, and then he would leave, and then he would come and kiss her, and then he would leave. But then one day he came and kissed her, and he never left again. And, you know, it's just this, you know, you can tell that even though she's a, first of all, Muslim, where, you know, how women are perceived by Muslims anyway, but now she's a slave prostitute Muslim, right? But she seemed to feel very free, right? Her circumstances did not imprison her. So that's what this is saying. This is saying that, you know, we can choose our perception, we can choose our meaning, we can choose our purpose, and nobody and nothing can take it away from us. If Lynn starts to yell at me and I feel victimized, it's because I let go of my purpose. It's not because Lynn started yelling at me, right? If I drop my purpose, well, then it's going to go back to that ego default. But if I can keep my purpose alive in the forefront of my mind all of the time, nothing can take it away from me. So that's pretty empowering, I think. Verses 15 to 24. How are you to interpret the events in your life so that they may bring you joy? You are to interpret them truly and not with confusion. Confusion says that the events in your life are lord over you. Confusion says the events in your life may bring you joy or sorrow or pain or peace or fear or safety or danger or frustration or any number of feelings, thoughts, and reactions. But always confusion says the events are lord and you are subject in all circumstances to react accordingly to your lord. So according to confusion, I am the victim of the weather. I am the victim of how you feel about me. I am the victim of the numbers that show up on the scale when I step on it. I am the victim of the noise outside in the street. I am the victim of, you know, just go on and on and on and on and on. And if I step on the scale and I like the number, I'm happy. If I step on the scale and I don't like the number, I'm unhappy. So see, both my happiness, even though we don't usually think of happiness as victim, it's actually the same. Because I'm saying that I am ruled by what's outside of me. That's saying that the world is Lord, and I am subject or slave to the world. And it gets to determine whether I'm happy or whether I'm unhappy.
And to complete reversal of cause and effect, we think that we're the effect.
Yes.
That's all we are. We're an effect of everything else that happens outside of us. And not realizing that everything has been invited.
Right.
So we are the cause.
Yeah.
So, sentence 6. The true interpretation comes from who you are. You are not subject to a lord who rules over you. You are lord of your own subject. In other words, your experience is given you because you have chosen it. And so, if you would have another experience, you must choose differently, which is in effect what Tom just said. Right, using the language of the Course, cause and effect, and here it's Lord and subject, same thing. So, I am the Lord, right? Not the world.
And it's also not saying that I don't like the experience that I have being a woman, and so I'm going to choose differently, and now I'm going Poof. To be a man.
Poof. Or go to Trinidad,
or
whichever.
Or go to Trinidad and become a man. It's not saying that. It's I change the experience that I have, not that I change what appears to be happening.
The interpretation. The meaning
you know,
I give it.
I don't like the experience of gravity. I wish that it would just go away, and I'm going to choose against gravity. Well, that's not necessarily going to happen.
Well, and this is right in alignment with what, you know, those of you who are in the ministerial preparation program right now, I mean, we're really, it's the same thing. It's all about the meaning I give it, right? And since I'm the one that gives the meaning, I can change the meaning, right? And, you know, a right-minded meaning is not, okay, now I love gravity. A right-minded meaning is, I accept that gravity is an experience here, right? Yeah, acceptance, trust, these are right-minded types of thoughts. Everything is for my healing. These are right-minded types of thoughts. They don't boost the personality. They kind of help you let go of the personality.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's very difficult, you know, when they I remember the positive thinking fad. They used to go and from hate, go to love.
Yeah, that boosts.
That's a long freaking jump, man.
Well, plus that boosts the personality. There's no letting go of personality there.
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, really the only thing you can do is get to neutral.
Neutral.
That's, you know.
That's where you let go. Empty, open, neutral.
Right.
They're all the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Do not change your mind out of fear, but out of love. For love is the only power that is real. Now this is, I don't remember this being really important to me personally. Maybe it was and I've just forgotten. But I have definitely met people that this is important to.
Mm-hmm.
You know somebody? people who, you know, when they notice they're in wrong-minded thinking, just the fact that they're in wrong-minded thinking scares the crap out of them. And so then out of fear, they're trying to get themselves out of wrong-minded thinking. That just doesn't work. You know, that just doesn't work. The reason to get yourself out of wrong-minded thinking is love. And the way that love has translated in my mind, and so we're going to see it in NTI, since NTI was most specifically written for me, it was love of purpose. Love of, you know, love of desire to know truth or love of desire to know thyself. So if I get into the wrong thinking, the wrong-minded thinking, I don't get really scared of the wrong-minded thinking. I just say, wait a minute, is this where I want to be? Or do I want to be in the right mind? And you see, it's a gentle reason for letting go of the thinking rather than a fearful reason for letting go of the thinking. So that's what this is addressing now is you know, if you happen to have that fear that comes upon you when you get into wrong-minded thinking, and then you're fearfully trying to get out of it. And, you know, that won't work. You add fear to fear, you get more fear, you don't get right-minded, right?
Yeah.
So, starting with sentence 2. When you change your mind out of fear, you attempt to change your experience because you believe your experience is Lord. In this case, you wish for a different experience because you believe a different experience is needed to bring you joy. This purpose denies who you are, and so you shall learn that you are who you are not through choosing this experience. So it could be an experience of form, like a relationship. You think you have to get out of this relationship in order to be happy. Or it could be an experience of emotion. You know, you could think that I have to get out of this emotion in order to be happy, right? And, you know, whenever you listen to right-minded teachings, you'll find that right-minded teachings never teach that you have to get out of an emotion. Right-minded teachings teach you to learn to be restful in that emotion, to just observe that emotion, to watch that emotion. They never teach you got to get out of that. Right? So whenever that thought comes, I got to get out of this in order to be happy, that's actually fear talking. Right? That's fear. And again, it's teaching you you're a victim. Here you're a victim of your own emotions. Right?
Yeah. Always afraid of your own, you know.
Can't be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always afraid of itself.
Well, and also you have to realize that the emotion or whatever it is that's presented to you that you're experiencing is there for a reason. And so you're not going to get out of it by fighting it. It's just going to make it stronger or more aggressive to you. So I just watched a video the other day of a woman who, it was a TED Talk, and it was a woman that had started hearing voices when she was in college. And the voices would narrate her life, and they would say, you know, she's going to church now, she's sitting down
like
in
a
chair.
Movie.
Like that movie. And she told somebody, you know, I'm hearing these voices, and they freaked out, and she ended up going to a psychologist and ended up being diagnosed as schizophrenic and went through this entire thing and was, I think, eventually hospitalized and went through all sorts of trouble. And then just one day she just said, maybe these voices are trying to tell me something. And she started looking for what's the purpose of these voices talking to me. And she realized that it was her own inner self that was talking to her about, you know, help that had been helping her through experiences. She had some, you know, tell her the answers on a test when she was in college. And, you know, they were actually there to help her. It was obviously her own inner self. But when she started getting clarity on, you know, these are not my enemies. This is not something that's trying to destroy me. This does not mean I'm sick. This is just my experience. And when she came to terms with her experience, then she became sane. And when she became sane, she was able to do everything in her life, and she's actually a psychologist now. But that's, you know, what I'm, you know, the reason I brought that up is obviously because if you fight the experience, whatever it may be, the emotion, whatever it may be, you're not looking at what is this trying to tell me? What is this, you know, why do I have this? Why is this even here? And so you're losing an opportunity for whole, lots of learning and lots of growth and awakening.
Yeah, I just wanted to also add to me, which is very important, the Course teaches that you're not your thoughts, you're not your thoughts, you're not your thoughts. Critical to for me is you're not your feelings.
Right.
If you don't know that,
your feelings aren't true.
It's a lot easier to recognize that I'm not my thoughts,
right,
and I'm not my feelings.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
You know, it's like my feelings are like, they're right here. They're palpable, and, you know, they're preventing me from doing things and, you know, all this other stuff. So for me to recognize that you're not your feelings is really helpful.
Yeah, one way you could look at a feeling is it's more like a more manifested thought.
Yeah.
Right? You know, a thought is a little less heavy, a little less manifested.
Right.
Emotions are a little more manifested, and then this is more manifested,
right?
But they're all thoughts. Even this is
right.
A thought. So it's it's just more heavily manifested.
Right.
So it makes it seem a little more real, just like this face in the mirror seems more real.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So starting with sentence 5, to learn who you are. And this is a very interesting paragraph. Do not seek an experience that will give you what you want. Choose instead to be independent of your experience. In choosing independence, you learn you are not subject. And when you have learned you are not subject, you are free to learn you are Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So this again goes back to the Awakening Together quote yesterday, you know, where we were being taught, no one can take your freedom away from you. This goes back to, you know, Rabia's experience of being a slave prostitute, just blissfully happy and in love with God, mystic, right? I mean, if you're going to be a slave prostitute in form, but you're going to be a mystic in reality, you're independent of the experience, you're a slave prostitute, right? Because you can't be both. You know, so what this is saying is instead of always trying to change circumstances to be happy, including changing how we feel, instead of trying to change everything, find that ability, because it's in you, it's natural, find that ability to be happy with what is. Right? Find that ability to be happy. And I didn't see this whole movie. It was, some of you may have seen it. It was a movie about Cinderella, I think. But she, Ella Enchanted maybe was the name of it. She somehow came up the sewer in New York City in our world.
Enchantment.
Oh, yeah. Enchantment, was that it?
A parody on Cinderella.
On Cinderella, yeah. And I didn't see the whole movie. I saw like a scene. But the scene I saw was perfect. She was, you know, living with some guy, and he did something, and she got so angry at him, and she just yells at him, and she's so angry, and then she goes, oh, this is what anger feels like. Because she'd never felt it before. Oh, you know, and I thought, that is so perfect. You know, what if we return, this is what fear feels like. Oh, this is what guilt feels like. You know, we don't look at it from that observer point of view that was so natural to Cinderella in that particular movie. We think there's something very wrong with me because I'm feeling this. Or there's something very wrong with this situation because I'm feeling this, right? And instead, you know, it's just an experience. And you can look at the experience with that sense of curiosity, the same curiosity you use when you taste a chickpea cookie. Would you like to taste a chickpea cookie? Can you hold this?
Well, you've been eating black bean brownies, if I had some cocoa powder, so.
Would you like a chickpea cookie? See, this could be fear. Or you probably don't want one. You probably don't want one. Do you want one?
Sure.
This could be fear. This could be guilt. This could be anger, hatred, victimization. And you look at it with curiosity.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Just explore it. Watch that judgment there. And give it a knee.
You know what this tastes like?
What's it taste like?
Helleva.
Helleva? Yeah. You like helleva. Danielle loves helleva.
So, oh, really good. Did you make those?
No, we just stole them.
No. Okay.
Yeah, they're left over from Sunday service, I think.
Did you make them?
On Friday night? Did you make them or buy? No, you don't make. You didn't make them.
No, they were the Moji gave them.
Oh, okay.
It was a present. So it was a celebration.
Are we already past September 6th? We are, aren't we? I didn't realize that. Okay, so yeah, those are leftovers. But the point is, you know, we don't explore our emotions, you know, with a curiosity like we do a chickpea cookie, right? We don't. We immediately make a judgment about it. It's not supposed to be here. It's bad. It says this about me, or it says this about that. You know, so, and we're immediately buying into the victim story. I'm victim of what I'm feeling. We never think to take a different way of looking at it. We never think to say, oh, what does fear feel like when it's running through my body? Or what does depression feel like? Or what does anger feel like? Right? And just watch it. And if you could start adapting that kind of a feeling, you're going to have a completely different experience than when you're judging it shouldn't be here and I got to get the hell out. Right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, like that experience with Cinderella, she didn't identify with the feeling.
No.
You know, for me, it's like, that's me. That's me. That's me.
And there's something wrong with me because.
And it's just, you don't even think about, you know, looking at it from up above.
Right.
You know?
So from now on, just think of your emotions as a chickpea cookie.
Well, I think it even helps, like, when you were talking to me a couple weeks ago, was to even just identify what the feeling is. I never had.
Yeah, right.
And that stops you from separating yourself from that feeling, just to even identify it.
Yes.
And it's usually also attached to a thought, kind of. You can trace it back to a thought and just say, okay, this is just a thought. This is just a belief. Just, you know, that's not true.
All right, so verses 5 to 11. To forgive a circumstance or event is not to separate it into segments and to judge it and to determine where there is guilt and where there may be innocence. To forgive is to look at a circumstance or event as a whole, without separate parts, and to know that one whole can have only one purpose. And then remember that the circumstance is not Lord, which chooses its purpose, but you are. As Lord, you may choose the purpose that will bring to you the joy of release. In choosing this purpose, you choose to forgive the idea that you could be what you are not. So what he's referring to here is a trap that I fell into for a while, and I think a lot of spiritual students fall into. I call it the trap of rationalizing. So if I go back to the example of, you know, Lynn starts yelling at me, I don't want to have a grievance against Lynn. I don't want to dislike Lynn. And so I start rationalizing. Well, she's probably had a really hard day today, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the real reason she's... And I make myself forgive by making up another story.
Yeah, that's why she's being such a bitch.
That's why she's being such a bitch.
That's right. You know that. I didn't say that. Yeah. And that's really reaffirming the guilt. It's reaffirming that I'm still doing a bad thing.
Yeah.
You're just giving me an excuse for doing something. Yeah.
So that's what this is saying. Don't go analyzing the situation and making up stories about it so that you can feel better about it and then calling that forgiveness. Look at the whole picture. The whole picture is now there's a person yelling at me. The whole picture is, you know, I can interpret it one of two ways. I can interpret it as bad. It shouldn't be here. It should go away. I'm victim of this picture. Or I can interpret it as, I can choose to be happy. I can choose to see this as healing me, right? So instead of breaking it into parts and trying to figure out why is Lynn grumpy today, you know, how can somehow she still be good in spite of this grumpiness, right? Just here it is. How do I want to see it? With the right mind or the wrong mind is really what we're saying. So just take it as it is. Don't go breaking it into parts and analyzing it and making up stories about it.
And another thing, I have a lot of that because I have a very active household and lots of opinions and temperaments. you know, everyone in my household has something. And, you know, they could be yelling at me. And I'm just like, what does that have to do with me?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me. It's, you know, whatever they're up to in their mind, it has nothing to do with me. I have no involvement in it at all, and I just stay calm and rational. I used to get very involved and think, oh, you know, me, you're doing this to me, and now it's like, it has nothing to do with me. It's whatever's going on in your mind really makes it a lot simpler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Diffuses the entire situation.
All right, verses 12 to 17. Know then who you are. Look on the world with new eyes. You are not the effect of what you see, but you do feel the effect of what you choose. You are the maker of experience. Experience is not the maker of you. It is for this reason that you do have a choice. Will you let experience tell you how you are to feel? Or will you let how you feel tell the experience what kind of experience it is to be? So, is that a frown?
or will you let how you feel tell the experience it? What kind of feeling are we talking about?
Oh, here it's talking about the right mind, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, it is referring to the right mind.
Well, I figured it pretty much had to be.
Yeah.
it wasn't called out that way.
Well, I guess that's why it's great that you're studying with the scribe.
It is. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is definitely referring to the right mind. So the wrong mind would be experience telling me how to feel. The right mind is me being in the right mind and then telling the experience, you know, what it really is. You know, you're here for my healing. You're a completely neutral experience. You're, you know, me calling the shots.
And you can still feel not great. You know, you can still feel the process. It doesn't mean that you're not in your right mind.
Right. Yeah. In fact,
you can go through a process. You need to. It's a birthing process.
Well, there may be some people, at least until some point of amazing enlightenment. You know, there may be some people who are always going to have, for example, feelings of depression or feelings of guilt. You know, some of these feelings come through, you know, as far as we know at the level of form, chemical reactions in the brain. You know, it seems like different people are born with different tendencies in that way. And, you know, I've heard people that are very wise, you know, some people might call them enlightened, but they still have these experiences that some people would call depression or some people would call guilt. What's happened is they've learned to see them differently. They've learned to realize their chemical reactions in the brain. It's not depression. It's not guilt. It's, you know, it's a passing sensation, right? And so if we add interpretation to the sensation, we've got something else. If we learn to take the interpretation away from the sensation may be the same, but now you've got something else.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's some things, I mean, I don't know, at one point, there may be a point where the ego dies and there's no way to ever have a sensation of depression. You know, I don't know that for sure, but I do know for sure that there are people that continue to have those sensations and yet have transcended them too. I know that that is possible. So, and that's really what they are, sensations. Again, it's a chickpea cookie.
Yeah.
All right, starting with sentence 9. Always you may choose healing if that is what you choose to feel. Always, because you are Lord, the world and all of its events may come to you to heal you and to soothe you of the pain that comes when you have chosen to forget that you are Lord. And truly, always will be the Lord of all you choose to experience. Now, this paragraph was, by the way, I'm certain written the way it was written because of where I was when NTI was received. When NTI was received, I could not imagine just choosing happiness now, no matter what. That was still too far down the realm of possibility. Now I can. Now I can remember in an instant, no matter what's going on, and say, ah, I forgot for a second, and I can choose happiness. But I couldn't do that when this was written. So I had a hope of healing, right? A hope of healing. And so that's what's being offered here as my choice, because that was, you could say at that time, that was my best choice, the hope of healing. And but now, if I was to write NTI now, and it's still speaking directly to the scribe, now this paragraph would probably say, always you may choose happiness. Or always you may choose acceptance, or always you may choose joy, right? So, you know, sometimes we just need to realize where we are on this path of awakening and what our best option is now. And what one person's best right-minded choice and another person's best right-minded choice may not be the same. It's like you said earlier, going from hate to love is too big of a step. Well, for me, when this came, going from extreme feelings of unworthiness to joy was too big of a step. But I could go from extreme feelings of unworthiness to this situation is for my healing. That was a step I could make. It felt honest, it felt realistic, it was reasonable, it helped. So one thing, this is why, at the beginning of this chapter, actually it was the previous chapter, it said, as you read this, listen within, and you will receive your guidance. Because your guidance may not be exactly what is written in this book. However, what is written in this book is right-minded enough that if you listen with the heart, even if your guidance is a slightly different flavor or a slightly different place now, you will hear it while reading this book. So we don't really want to learn so much from the external form of the book, as much as we want to learn from what our heart and what our inner communication is telling us as we're reading the book, right? Who was it? Was it Dave that emailed me this week? I think it was Dave, and said you said that you agreed there had to be 6.5 billion different spiritual paths, one for each person, right? Yeah. So there can't be a book that's written for all of us. You know, not perfectly. Parts of it maybe are helpful, but your book is written in you. You know, whether you ever turn into a book or not is irrelevant. You want to learn to listen to it and read it from within and follow it and hear it and know this is what's best for me, especially this is what's best for me now. Right? So, when it comes to choosing a perception then, if you notice you're in a wrong-minded perception, instead of stretching for a right-minded perception that might feel like too big of a step or might feel even like a lie to you in this current moment, kind of feel within or ask within for the right-minded perception that's the right step for you right now. You know, so whether you're dealing with emotions or whether you're dealing with what appears to be a difficult circumstance and form, you know, always ask within, you know, something like, how can I see this now, or how should I see this now, or what's helpful to me here, right? And let your own heart, your own inner self speak to you. So, I think that probably the last thing I said probably should be our assignment, that if we find ourselves in the next week at any time, you know, interpreting with the wrong mind, you know, we're feeling frustration, we're feeling stress, we're feeling guilt, we're feeling fear, we're feeling something, and we're not just allowing it, we're not looking at it like a chickpea cookie. We are hating it. It needs to go away. I should be different, right? Try to step out of that mold by kind of pausing within yourself in whatever way is natural for you, and asking, how should I see this? Or how can I see this? What's helpful for me in this? And see if you can't experience a little shift by asking a question and then feeling or just knowing of another way to see it. All right? So that will be our assignment for the week. So with that, I will turn off the recorder and we will have a bit of silence. I also think we're going to have guests probably the next two Tuesdays in a row. As far as I know, there's people, there's two ladies that are coming here next week from Arkansas to join us in NTI. And then the following week, there's a lady coming here from Washington State to join us in NTI. So we should be seeing some friends. Yeah.